minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of a Pack-A-Day Podcast. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thank you so much for making us part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz, and I will be your host on this Sunday, August 7th. Family night is in the books. Week two of training camp in the books. And first preseason game, what, 6 days away? Five, 6 days away? Real football? I know it's kind of only real football, just a little bit, because it's still preseason at the end of the day. But, I mean, we've had the Hall of Fame game. We've had family night. I mean, real football is back. Jimmy, I mean, it's exciting at this point. Like, first of all, before we get into anything, like, did you watch the Hall of Fame game, even some of it, even if you only watched, like, 5 minutes of it? Did you turn it on?
Yeah, I watched the first quarter, and then today it was actually before the Hall of Fame stuff started. It was replaying on NFL Network. So I watched the last, like, second half of the third quarter and most of the fourth.
Okay. Yeah, like, the Hall of Fame game for me every year is, like, I turn it on and watch, like, the first quarter because I've been starved of, like, football for 6-7 months. But, I mean, ultimately, by the time the first quarter's over, I mean, the first quarter's awful as it is because it's a Hall of Fame game and, like, nobody plays. Like, I mean, they've already eliminated one preseason game. We only have three preseason games unless you play in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. Like, as much as I think it's great, like, I don't understand why they play that game.
I don't know. Because,
like, nobody cares. Like, nobody takes it seriously. Like, I mean, it feels even less serious than the actual preseason games that are scheduled for you.
I feel like if they're trying to, like, display for the greatest players to ever play in the sport, they should have the Hall of Fame game be, like, the opening game of the year. Like, you have the two best teams. It's a big matchup. That Thursday before it, you do the Hall of Fame stuff, and then you have the Hall of Fame game. Like, because then you actually are having good players on the field and people are going to watch it. But I don't understand why they have, like, as Pat McAfee called them, like, they're going to be insurance salesmen in a few months. Like, you might as well put two teams that are really good, will get eyes and make it a big event rather than, and I know it is a big event right now, but the Hall of Fame game isn't. So,
yeah.
It started off with a BS passing the, or roughing the passer call too. So it was just the perfect kickoff into the NFL season.
Yeah. Yes. And so again, it's one of those things, like, it's a football game. We haven't watched football in 6 or 7 months. So, you know, I consumed a little bit of it, but not a whole lot. So football is back, Jimmy. And, you know, we Andy touched on family night yesterday. So we'll touch on it a little bit, but today we figured there was at least one thing that we for sure had to talk about. If you had a chance to watch it, you know, great. Leroy Butler, former Packers safety, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame after 16 years of waiting. Jimmy, you and I, we watched his speech. It was about 6 or 7 minutes. And, you know, I mean this in all due respect, but I mean, there wasn't anything that really stood out from his speech. He thanked a lot of people. You know, it's not like when Brett Favre went in, I think his speech was like 20 minutes or something like that. You know, it was short and sweet. He thanked a lot of people. You know, nothing, you know, again, I didn't think it, I think it was actually kind of perfect to who he was. It was just kind of a humble speech. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, storytelling, but just kind of your thoughts on Leroy Butler making the Pro Football Hall of Fame after waiting 16 years. I know Packer fans forever have been clamoring for him to be in the Hall of Fame. I think he said, what, there's only 363 people total in the Hall of Fame right now. He's one of them. So Leroy Butler being introduced into the Hall of Fame, just kind of getting some of your thoughts.
Yeah, like every Packer fan, it was long overdue. 38 interceptions, 20 and a half sacks. People always talk about Jamal Adams and how he's a versatile, like, in or box safety, can get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Like, that's not a thing right now if it wasn't for Leroy Butler. Leroy Butler was a weapon. I forgot who it was. Chris Carter said he was a safety, but he had the coverage skills of a cornerback. He's still getting 30-plus sacks. Like, the guy was an incredible monster. He's one of the players, him and Reggie White, that I was just bummed I wasn't able to, like, really watch and appreciate their play. He obviously invented the Lambeau Leap. Should have got him in the Hall of Fame just for that. All-time great celebration. One of the stories, though, actually, in the Hall of Fame game, or before the game started, they were just interviewing a lot of different players that are getting inducted. And he said two things that were interesting. One, he planned his Hall of Fame speech 13 years ago with his mom. And he said 90% of his speech is what they wrote. And their whole goal was to make it short and sweet. They wanted to have the shortest Hall of Fame speech possible, or that has happened. And the second one was him saying that he almost was a 49er because they only had one phone. And his sister, who he mentioned, Vicky, in the speech, was on that one phone. So when the 49ers called, wasn't getting through. And so we have Vicky to thank that we have Leroy Butler as a Green Bay Packer legend.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, like you said, Jimmy invented the Lambeau Leap. I mean, it's now, you know, it's one of the most famous touchdown celebrations in all of football. I mean, you see players from other teams do it now, you know. I mean, I believe even some of the soccer players that came to Lambeau a couple weeks ago, they were doing it just for, you know, it's part of Green Bay. It's part of Lambeau. And we have Leroy Butler to thank for that. Leroy Butler invented it. Robert Brooks perfected it. And then from there, you just have, you know, everybody piling on board with it. So congratulations to Leroy Butler. Well-deserved. Waited 16 years for it. You know, Jimmy, you know, one thing I mentioned to you, you and I are roughly the same age. You know, the biggest thing I agree with you is that I was alive when Leroy Butler played for the Packers, but he retired in 2001. I was 9 years old. Most of what I remember of him is watching highlight tapes when I was a kid. So bummed that I didn't, like, you know, have kind of the cognitive ability to remember him, you know, watching games, you know, Sundays after Sundays, you know, just being able to see his Hall of Fame career, but definitely well-deserved, and congratulations to him. So, and we'll actually use his position to segue into our next topic here. So Darnell Savage got hurt at family night practice. And of course, because it's Green Bay and apparently in training camp in the preseason, Packer players are apparently only allowed to get one type of injury, which is to hurt their hamstring. I don't know what it is, Jimmy, but it seems like every year there is a starting player that injures their hamstring. And like, what is it? Do they not, like, I don't understand. There's always a hamstring injury in Green Bay. And the other thing that bothers me right now, we don't really know the extent of it. It sounds like they're not overly concerned with it. But, like, I remember, I think it was Casey Hayward's second season. He injured his hamstring in training camp and then, like, didn't play the entire season. So, like, it's not like they just, like, injure their hamstring and it's like, oh, 3 weeks. It's like, for whatever reason, it's like the dumbest injury in like, Packers history. And it's always popping up. So, I mean, right now, like I said, we don't know a whole lot about it, but I mean, what is your level of concern? I mean, I would say that in fairness, given the two starting safeties, I'd rather have it happen to Darnell than Amos. But that also being said, like, I don't want it to happen to Darnell either, because when he's good, he's really good. So, And obviously you just don't want injuries in general, but I mean, what's your level of concern right now with, Savage's injury to his hamstring?
I'm definitely concerned. Like you said, he said this too. It's a fast player injury. Like, you get, like, your fast athletes who are going probably faster than humans should are getting these types of injuries. It's just these soft tissue ones. And it's weird. Like, I would rather have him, like, break his arm, because that's like a set amount of time you heal the broken bone in your back. But these hamstring injuries, like, they linger. It's something that he's going to be dealing with all season long. He can take the rest of camp off and he still could probably tweak it in the first couple of weeks and just have to deal with that. And as a player who relies a lot on his athleticism, for someone who sometimes gets beat and has to rely on his speed to catch back up just because he is that freak athlete, it's just going to mean he's really going to have to be on his P's and Q's, because he's not going to be at the top speed to be able to sometimes catch up as he has in the past. So I'd definitely be lying if I wasn't saying I'm worried. You never want a player injured, especially a starter, and one that, just like at a lot of positions, we don't have much depth behind him. We have Vernon Scott, Leavitt or Leavitt, whatever his name is, who's mainly a special team guy for Richie B. There's not much there. So maybe this is a chance for the Packers to look around at some other safeties who are still available, bring somebody in just as an insurance policy. But I definitely concerned. I don't think he's going to miss games for it, but I don't know if he's going to be 100% come the start of the season.
Yeah, I would think so, and I fully agree with you. And I mean, at this point, I would imagine that we're not going to see him in any preseason games at this point. I mean, he's done playing football until mid to early September, whenever that, I think it's September 11th is the Vikings game. So I think that's the next time we're going to see him. It'll be interesting to see if he practices at all. I'm sure he won't practice this week, but it'll be interesting to see if they get him in to practices at all. But I don't think we're going to see him at all during the preseason, which, I mean, not that he was probably slated to do a whole lot of playing during the preseason anyway, but I mean, you know, it's just one of those things to be able to get a handful of reps, you know, in three consecutive games, if you can, that's better than just going into week one absolutely cold. So it's just, it's not great. But again, it's one of those things that, you know, we weren't going to make it through all of training camp in the preseason without something. And if this is the worst thing that's happening right now in Green Bay as far as injuries to players, I mean, you know, this is still pretty good as far as, you know, you're not having a whole lot of players on the injury list. But definitely, you know,
knock on wood, Nick, knock on wood.
Yep, knock on wood, because that's what I said. No news is good news all of June, all of July, and then we got the Bakhtiari news. So, yeah, maybe I'll just stop talking about injuries.
Yeah, so shut the hell up for like 5 minutes. Nick.
I know. So, all right. Well, Jimmy, let's pivot to one more topic here real quick. You know, there was a lot going on with family night. Andy broke it down pretty well yesterday, but just kind of get some thoughts from you. You know, obviously, Romeo Doubs is just, man, if he continues to play the way he's playing, I mean, he looks, I was at practice on Thursday this past week, and I mean, he looks really, really good. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, he just, like, if you just watched him play and didn't know anything about his draft stock, you probably would have thought that he was taken at 34 instead of Christian Watson. Like, I mean, that's just how well he's playing right now. And again, the other big thing too, that's obviously speaks highly of him, is that Aaron Rodgers is talking highly of him. And like, we know that Aaron doesn't give you credit if you didn't earn it. He won't, not in a mean way, but it's just like, if you're not earning it, he's not going to talk about you.
Yep.
And so Aaron's obviously big on him. But I mean, he just continues to show exactly what he can do. And I mean, at this point, Jimmy, he's what, wide receiver number three?
Yeah.
Behind Lazard and Cobb. I mean, there's obviously a lot more to go before we start, you know, putting a pecking order. But I mean, season started today, I would assume he's number three.
Yeah. And they mentioned too, like, one of the great things about him being able to play on the outside, Herman broke it down, as well as Jacob Morley. I don't know. I could be completely wrong on that. So I know Herman definitely tweeted it out too. If he's able, and he is, to play on the outside, you have Sammy Watkins on the other, that has Lazard being able to play in the slot. And that's where most of his targets came from last season. He's really dominant there. He's a big body, typically going against smaller people, smaller corners. And usually that's changing now, because we see Jalen Ramsey playing in the slot. We'll see Jair play there at sometimes this year. But usually it's not their best corner in the slot. So if you are able to get a big body Lazard matched up on someone, on the inside, is probably a good look, especially the way Doubs has been playing is great. And there's a real possibility that we hit on Watson, fingers crossed. I'm going to be optimistic until he shows me not to. Dobbs, and then I don't even know how to say his name, but the seventh rounder, Touré. I'm going to call him Touré because it sounds cooler. That's it.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but
it is now.
I know who you're talking about. Because we're the professionals on this podcast where we all know the pronunciations of the Packer player names. You know,
that's Michael why they gave us the Sunday ones, because we are most pristine. Number 83, now named Touré. He looked great at family night, too. He had that deep ball. He had that contested fade in the end zone that he hit that Antonio Brown dance after, put that bleep on. He looked good. There's a chance those three are really productive and with the team for a while. And for all this harp of our wide receivers suck, we should have done more. Like, if this group can be productive for how cheap they're going to be, then we made a fantastic thing. And we still have Kenny Clark for a while, still have Jair for a while, Devondre Campbell for a while. Like, this just shows Twitter GMs, you're kind of dumb when it comes to this. And this is myself included, anyone. We don't know anything. So just appreciate this.
And it's a really good point. I was watching, my wife and I, we were watching Family Night the other night. And on TV, Wayne Larrivee and Rock, they do the radio broadcast for the games. They were the ones that kind of narrated the television broadcast of Family Night. And Wayne Larrivee made a really good point when talking about, again, don't know how to pronounce his name. How are you saying it, Jimmy?
Touré.
Touré, if that's probably not correct. But as a seventh-round draft pick, Jimmy, do you know who the all-time leading receiver for the Green Bay Packers is?
Mr. Beautiful Smile himself, Donald Driver.
And do you know when Donald Driver was drafted, Jimmy?
The seventh round.
The seventh round, yes. Yeah. So the all-time leading receiver for the Green Bay Packers is a seventh-round draft pick. So that's not to say that that's what he's going to turn into. But the point
talk
being
it up right now.
the point being is that, you know, just because he's a seventh-round draft pick, you know, doesn't mean that he can't play. So, they looked really good, you know, so far so good for all the panic that's been around the wide receiver room. At this point, probably the biggest concern at this point that I would just have is just the fact that Christian Watson hasn't really played.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm less concerned about that because of how the other guys around him have played. Mm-hmm. You know, at this point you want him healthy, you want him on the field, but if these guys continue to play and can play in the regular season the way they've been playing, you know, in training camp and through the preseason, I'm less concerned about it. The biggest concern I would have about him is just him getting up to speed with everything at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And I think just a little cherry on top, if those three hit, is for the next however many years that we can have Watson, Mari Rogers, Dobbs, Touré, Lazard, and still not draft a first round wide receiver, and just hear people complain about that every year at the draft will just be fantastic. Like, I want this streak to go on as long. If we don't draft a first-round wide receiver until I die, I will die happy. Just because it's drama and we're being successful without it. I don't know. I think it's great. And another thing from Family Night that I loved is, one, the defense looks fantastic. Obviously, they're not able to tackle, but they are fast. And a big thing, and he gets so much hate on Twitter, and I don't get it, but Jordan Love, yes, he made mistakes. He still did well, though. He had that huge deep ball to I'm just going to call him 83, so I stopped butchering his name, to 83. Because, and then everyone's like, well, why it slowed up, and he underthrew it a little bit. Like, okay, did they score a touchdown? Yes. Who cares? It was there. And it's not his fault why it got through. That's the offensive line's fault. He still stepped up and he still threw the ball. He looked good. Yes, he made mistakes, but it's his second real offseason. He hasn't had a lot of game reps. I put this on Twitter today. His job right now is not to win the starting job. It's not to convince us that he could take over and be the next franchise quarterback. It's to get better. And every season, Mr. Beautiful Jordan Love has gotten better. He's doing his job. Let's all just support him. Get off his back. He didn't choose to be picked by us. We picked him. Stop being jerks and support him.
I'm right there with you, Jimmy. I don't understand why he gets so much hate. I really don't. Like, I mean, by the way, I have to say this. And I was telling Annie this after practice on Thursday. So one of the things that I was able to see, and it was probably on Twitter, I'm just not on it enough to know if it was there, but Aaron Rodgers has been wearing a feather in his helmet.
Yeah.
Like, so, and with everything that's happened this offseason, like, Aaron Rodgers to me now is, he is a great quarterback. And you can't follow it up with anything other than this. The sentence is, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but he's a little odd. Like, he is no longer, like, at one point in time, he was just like another dude. And now, like, he's just a little out there. And that's fine. That's totally okay. But, like, but going back to Jordan Love, like, I don't understand.
I love this thing right now with Aaron Rodgers. So after you're done going to Jordan Love, we need to address this.
All right, we'll circle back to it. But like, is it because like he was like, I guess where I don't understand is like, Aaron Rodgers is great, Hall of Famer. He won us a Super Bowl, and like if he wants to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and he's all in to do so, great, that's fine. But, like, I don't understand, like, there is some of me that as much as I love Aaron, he is literally turned into Brett Favre in the sense that from September through the end of the season, he is everything you want. He's everything that you want. And then once the end of the season comes around, there's, like, 4 months where you're just like, dude, like, I don't care what you want to do, but make up your mind and, like, let's just, like – he like during the offseason, he seems wishy-washy, and like I don't understand why people don't like Jordan Love. Like I just don't. And like I don't know, Jimmy. I can't put it into words. I just don't get it. I'm at a loss.
It doesn't make sense. And the one thing with Rodgers, at least he did it quicker than Favre. Like, because if it was still Favre as our quarterback, we wouldn't know right now if he was gonna retire or not. It'd still be like, is he showing up? But no, Aaron Rodgers, 100%. To finish the Jordan Love thing, I'm 100% with you. First time in my life, I can say I 100% agree with producer Nick. but with Rodgers, he used to be a person I'd say, you know what, same as you. I love that he's my quarterback. Would I ever sit down and have a beer with him? Absolutely not. That's completely changed because homeboy is so out there that I'm like, you know what, I would sit down and have multiple drinks with you. You want to give me ayahuasca? We'll go on a trip together, Rodgers. Like, let's see where this takes us. I'll be one of the 100 sets of hand blessing your body. You can call me an ancestor. But I don't know. He just seems like such an interesting guy. And it's actually kind of cool because he doesn't fit that stereotypical starting quarterback, Tom Brady on the Patriots mold. Like, that's what you envision as, like, all business, no personality. But I don't know. I enjoy that he's coming out of his shell and just being his, as he would say, authentic self, brother. But it's cool to see. Is he weird? Absolutely.
I have a theory, Jimmy, that, and I want to share this with you, and you just tell me what you think of it. So I have this theory because it really has been in like the last, like, what, 2 years that he's kind of been like this, that we've seen more of it. Mm. I get the sense that, like, the COVID thing is what, because he got COVID, right? He had the whole thing where he said he was immunized, and then he got COVID and he missed the game. And, you know, he talked about it on Pat McAfee twice in 1 week. And it was all very divisive because that's all COVID is. That's the real disease, is the divisiveness of it. And I think he just got to the point with COVID where, like, there are people – he, like, now knows that, like, there are people that, like, they may root for him, but they don't like him anymore. Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, whatever. I really don't care. And then there are people that they're not only is he a great quarterback, but, like, he, like, thinks the way that I do, like, about the – and, like, there are people that love him even more. And I think it really just got him to the point where he's just like, look, you can't make people happy. So I'm just going to be who I am, and they're going to have to deal with it. I really feel like COVID and that scenario is why we're getting more of who he is right now, is because before that, because like Aaron, comes across as, at least prior to this, as somebody that was a little bit more sensitive about what people thought of him.
Yeah.
And so it would make sense that if he's been like this his entire time, that he's like, all right, well, I don't know how people are going to react to this. So I'm just going to kind of keep it to myself, keep it under wraps. And then the whole COVID thing just really polarized people. And now he's just like, all right, whatever. I'll just let people know who I am.
Yeah. No, I 100%. Gosh, darn it, Nick. That's two times in one episode. I 100% agree with you. And it's because this stuff was, he talked about doing shrooms with Danica Patrick. And that was years ago. That Peru trip in 2020, he told the story on McAfee, and that's a platform you're going to share if you did ayahuasca. And he said, like, oh, I was in Peru for a trip. I almost got stuck there because of COVID. Like, he had chances to say it, and I'm with you now. I think this is the reason why he's being open about it, because he doesn't care anymore. He knows people are going to have their opinions. I think he is actually less sensitive to what people think, like you said. And I think the whole COVID fiasco, on just the whole, like you said, the divisiveness of it. He just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do me. And what are you going to do? Trade me? I'm the best quarterback in the league. So,
yeah. Well, and you know, I just, as a personal aside, I feel like if more people had that mindset of like, this is who I am and just like deal with it, like I don't care, I feel like the world would be a better place.
100%. Absolutely.
That's three times now in one show, Jimmy.
I am being my authentic self now, Nick, and I secretly love you, and I'm letting it out.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I love you too, buddy. but yeah, no, I mean, he's really good at football, and he's a little out there.
Yeah.
That's all I can say anymore about the guy. He's really good at football, and he's a little out there. And by the way, because we talked about it earlier, I'm now thinking about it. I cannot wait for his Hall of Fame speech.
Oh my God.
It's either going to be amazing or he's going to say like six words and that's going to be it.
Yeah. What if he does ayahuasca on stage, darn it? And we just all get to witness.
I think he cares a little too much about like the Hall of Fame to like have it marred by some psychedelic drug. Yeah, I don't think that'll happen, but it's fun to think about, I guess.
This might be the last time I'm walking on Pack a Day. So it's been really nice, guys. I'm sorry, Herman. I won't talk about ayahuasca anymore.
Well, see, it's just like anything else. We're talking it into it in reference to Packer stuff. So it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like copyright material. As long as you're, you know, having a conversation about it, you can do whatever. So now that this show has gone completely off the rails, this seems like it's straight out of Lombardi's bar. you know, if we can wrap things up here, Jimmy. So one last real quick going into this week. Obviously, they've got the 49ers in San Francisco. I believe that's on Friday. Just real quick, how much do you think we see Aaron Rodgers play on Friday?
I think Friday we see him, if we see him at all, my gut would say he doesn't play. I say we see him maybe two drives.
Two drives.
Yeah, and I could see him playing two or three on week number two, take week number three off. But I don't see him playing much at all. I think they might just save it for week two. And that could kind of – you know how like before when there were four games, like preseason game number three was the real one?
The dress rehearsal, yep.
Yeah, I think we'll see – if we see him – I have a stronger feeling we'll see him week two than week one.
Yeah, I would tend to agree for a lot of reasons. I mean, not that Green Bay is really doing it for this reason, but they only have one preseason game at Lambeau this year, and that is the second preseason game. So if you're gonna let him play in a game where, you know, the fans can actually see him instead of on a road game. But yeah. I tend to agree. It seems like a double edged. It seems like there's a couple of things going on with it in the sense that, you know, at this point, Aaron really doesn't need the preseason. It's really more just to kind of get his feet wet so they're not rusty like they were last year in week one. And the other thing is, too, is with Jordan Love being that high investment, I mean, the more reps he can get, the more he can do on the field, the more you can see. It tells you, hey, is this somebody that, you know, down the road we can rely on? Or if nothing else, put something on tape and say, hey, you want Jordan Love? You know, this is the price for him because he's, you know, shown that he can play really well. So, yeah, there's just a lot, I think, you know, going on there with that. You know, nothing – nothing too new. I mean, starting quarterbacks in Green Bay haven't really played in the preseason the last 30 years. So
yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Get Love all the reps. Let Rodgers. Yep. He'll get the chemistry, and until that gets underway, he'll make it work.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Jimmy, thank you for joining again tonight. Real quick to wrap things up, if people want to get in touch with you, follow your work, how can they do that?
First, follow Lombardi's Bar at Lombardi's Bar. We go live every Wednesday at 7 o'clock Lambeau time. This coming week, we have Matt Schneiben from the Athletic. The following, we have Mr. Packaday himself, Andy Herman, joining us. So follow Lombardi's Bar at Lombardi's Bar. You'll see a lot of the stuff there. Besides that, I have a show coming out every Tuesday called On Brand Off Topic, and then Pack a Day here. But if you want to do me a favor and give me a – it's not my birthday. I don't know. Give me a gift, whatever. Follow me, Lombardi's Bar.
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at Producer Nick LB. You don't see my beautiful face on Lombardi's Bar, but if you do go over and check out Lombardi's Bar, you will typically hear Dan, Jimmy, and Todd – poking fun at me at some point, typically about things that, well, I can't really share on this show. So just go over to Lombardi's Bar and check it out, and you can find out that way. So Jimmy, with that being said, again, no Gage this week. He was out of town this weekend, I think. So he will be back. He is still with the team. Don't worry. If you're tuning in solely for him, I apologize that you had to put up with Jeff, Jimmy, and I for the last 2 weeks, but he will be back. It's just, it's summer. People get busy, and we record on Saturdays, so sometimes that can be a busy day for people. So he will be back with us hopefully next week. We'll be able to talk about the Packers' first preseason game, and hopefully everything's all good next week. So with that being said, Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening, and as always, go Pack, go. We'll be right back.